Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The focus of our study today is going to be on a single verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and that is verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. That passage says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Thankfulness is something that is sadly lacking in our day. People think that they are owed certain things. Things such as food, good health, plenty of money. And if they are without such things, they become angry. And if they have such things, they think they have only that which they deserved. One of the most grievous indictments of the entire human race is found in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, where it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." A right response to the knowledge that there is a God, and everyone without exception has that knowledge, is that we would glorify God and that we would be thankful to God. And our text says those who do not glorify him and those who are not thankful to him are fools. You remember the story of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, verses 12 to 19. In which Jesus healed all 10 of them of leprosy, but only one of them returned to give thanks. And the prevailing attitude of our day today is that of the 9 lepers who gave no acknowledgement of the benefits that Christ extended to them, rather than that of the 10th who returned to give thanks and glory to God. We are told in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 that in the last days, perilous times would come. And one of the things that would characterize those times is that men would be unthankful. Well, we're living in such times, and we must resist the spirit of ungratefulness and entitlement that permeates our culture. And the lesson of our passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is simply this. Thankfulness ought to characterize the people of God. There's one thing that ought to characterize the people of God. It is thankfulness. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually." And what is that sacrifice of praise that is to be continual? It is this, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And so gratitude to God ought to be on our lips continually. That is, throughout the day, throughout the week, and especially on the Lord's Day, when we gather together to worship, one of the grandest expressions of worship is to turn to God and say, "God, thank you." Now, as we examine our text this morning in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the passage seems quite simple and straightforward, and on the face of it, it is. We need to be thankful in every situation, no matter what it is. However, behind its simple statements lie a number of presuppositions and foundational perspectives. And as we explore them together, the full meaning of this passage becomes much more apparent. In teaching us about thanksgiving, this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 teaches us a great deal about God, first of all, and then secondly, it teaches us a great deal about ourselves. And so what we want to do together this morning is to examine these two lines of thought as we look at this passage. What does 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tell us about God? And then what does 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tell us about ourselves when it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you"? Well, in the first place then this morning, let us consider together what this passage teaches us about God. What this passage teaches us about God. Now, this passage teaches us several things about God, and we want to take note of them because thankfulness has its foundations in a right understanding of who God is. And the first thing this passage teaches us about God is that God is a sovereign God. And the reason it teaches us that is because it says, "In everything, give thanks." Now, the clear implication is that God is in control of everything, because it would be unreasonable to ask us to give thanks in every situation if God were not in control of every situation. Because if God were not in control of every situation, then some things might occur that would not be that for which we could give thanks. To give continual thanks in everything on our part implies that there is continual control of everything on God's part. So then, we are to give thanks in everything, that is, in every situation and in every circumstance, because God is in control of every single one of them. We're to give thanks in sickness, and we're to give thanks in health. We're to give thanks in prosperity, and we're to give thanks in poverty. We're to give thanks in disasters, and we're to give thanks in joys. Because as Ephesians 1:11 says, we are predestinated according to the purpose of Him, now notice, who works all things after the counsel of His own will. There is nothing that God is not in control of. So then, whatever happens to us is either directly caused by God or else it is purposely allowed by God. When Job lost his possessions and his servants and his children and his health and his friends and even his wife, who did Job recognize as being in control of all of those events? Job chapter 1 and verse 21, Job says, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That statement didn't come out of thin air. It came out of the heart of a man who knew he served a sovereign God who was in control of everything, even the bad events. And if you do not realize and if you do not accept the sovereignty of God, you will never be able to thank Him in everything that happens to you. You will instead believe you are the victim of Satan or of fate or of people. And in that, there is not only no comfort, there is also no basis for gratitude. And so this passage teaches us that not only is God a sovereign God, but in the second place, this passage also teaches us that God is a good God. That God is a good God. Now, our text says, "In everything give thanks." We can only be thankful in everything if the God who controls everything is good. That is, His control of everything produces beneficial results. Now, the Bible speaks profusely about the goodness of God. In Psalm 52 and in verse 1, It says the goodness of God endures continually. That is, there is never a moment in time when God is not good. And then it says in Psalm 119 and verse 68 regarding God, Thou art good and doest good. That is, it is God's nature as well as God's character as well as God's conduct to be good and to do good. Thankfulness, therefore, comes from the recognition of a benefit received. And the only way everything could result in a benefit is if a good God were behind everything and in control of everything and therefore producing a benefit out of everything, including the bad things. This is in contrast to the gods of Greek mythology or the pagan gods who had bad characters and as a result they did bad things even to their own followers. They were capricious and they deceived and played tricks on those who followed them. And this, of course, is what Satan does, in whose image all of these false gods are created in the minds of men. Now, the fact of God's goodness and the fact that God is good does not guarantee that there will not be any heartaches. It only guarantees that those heartaches will produce ultimate good in our lives. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, this does not say in this passage that all things are good, for there are many things that are not good. But what it does say is that they all work together for good, that is, to produce a good end and outcome. And the classic example of this is that of Joseph. We spoke of him this morning in Sunday school, who was wickedly sold into Egypt, unjustly accused and thrown into prison, and forgotten by those that he had helped. Joseph had 17 years of nothing but heartaches. But these heartaches were for good. They were for good for him and for his family and even for us down to this very day as a result of the fact that the nation of Israel was preserved and prospered and multiplied in Egypt and able to come out as a mighty nation. All because 17 years of heartache happened to one man. Now you think about the heartaches you have in your life now and you think, what's this about? Maybe you won't know for 400 years what that was all about, because your life is woven into the flowing stream of God's sovereign providences in the working out of His purpose and His plans for His people. And that's when we have to live by faith. We have to believe what God says, not believe our senses, our feelings, or what other people are telling us. We have a good God. He's working things together for good. By faith, we believe that, even in the face of tremendous difficulties. And as the Bible says, our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, work a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. And so that's where we have to put our focus. That's where we have to put our faith. And therefore, we can give thanks in everything because God is sovereign and therefore in control of everything. And we can give thanks in everything because God is good and therefore He works everything together for our benefit and the benefit of His people, even if the thing itself is bad. It was bad when Joseph's brothers sold him into Egypt, but boy, did that ever work together for good. And what's going on in your life right now may be very bad and very painful and very difficult. But God is going to work that together for good, for His people. He doesn't work things together for good for everyone indiscriminately, but it says for those who love the Lord. And why do they love the Lord? Because they're called according to His purpose. This passage teaches us, thirdly, that not only is God a sovereign God, Not only is God a good God, but thirdly, we see that He is a personal God. He is a personal God. Now, our text says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This is a very personal passage addressed to you as an individual. No individual is overlooked in the sovereign outworking of God's plan. God has an individual plan for you in particular, because the same God who is big enough to run and rule the entire universe and everything that happens in it is also personal enough to be aware of and manage the smallest detail in each individual's life. And so He doesn't just manage the far-flung spheres. He manages that speck of dust moving across a beam of sunlight in its exact course and where it finally lands. And everything in between. God is personally aware of, and God is personally focused on, the affairs of each individual's life. It says of Him in John chapter 10, verses 3 to 4, "The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And when He puts forth His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." And so God knows each of His sheep by name. He knows your name. He knows your exact circumstances, everything that's going on in your life, and He's managing each detail of that. Only the Christian can say of his God, "The Lord is my shepherd." My shepherd personally, individually, and specifically my shepherd who is looking out for me as an individual and me by name. And God has as much care for you as if you were the only thing that existed in the universe. That's the degree of focus He has on you. God says of Himself, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He's the God of the individual who identifies Himself with individuals and who cares specifically about each of them by name. You recall that when God was having His discussion with Satan in Job chapter 1 about Job, what did God say? He said in Job 1 and verse 8, "Satan, have you beheld my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one who fears God and rejects evil?" And so out of all the people that lived on the face of the earth, God knew exactly who Job was, and He pointed him out to Satan as being a particular object of His love and of His esteem and of His affection. God viewed Job as His personal servant, in whom He took a personal interest, whose life He knew all about in particular detail, right down to the intent of his mind and thoughts regarding evil, and that he would reject it. So when we observe the intricate detail of God's working in the lives of Joseph and Abraham and David and Job and all the other people in the Bible, we come to realize that God knows every detail of our lives, just like He did theirs. And He orders every detail of our lives, just like He did theirs, because He has a will and a plan for every detail of our lives, just like He did theirs. Concerning you, He has a will, and He has a plan. So we see from this passage that God is a sovereign God. He controls everything, and so therefore in everything we can give thanks. We see that He's a good God. In everything give thanks. You can be thankful because it's all going to work out for good. And we see from our passage that He's a personal God. He has a will and a working of His providence that concerns you as an individual. For you individually, He is working all things together for your good according to His sovereign will and the plan that He has for you. And this is what forms the foundation then for giving thanks in every situation, because every situation is designed by a sovereign God to accomplish good things for us in our individual particular circumstances. Well, that brings us then to our second major point this morning. Having seen what this passage teaches us about God, that He is sovereign, that He is good, and that He's personal, notice in the second place what this passage teaches us about ourselves. What this passage teaches us about ourselves. Now, this passage teaches us several things about ourselves, and understanding those things about ourselves will also cause us to be a thankful people. See, when we understand God properly, that provokes our thanks. When we understand ourselves properly, that also provokes our thanks. Notice then, first of all, what this passage teaches us about ourselves is that it teaches us our complete unworthiness. It teaches us our complete unworthiness. Now, our text tells us, in everything, give thanks. The fact that there is no occasion in which thanks are not to be rendered to God teaches us that there is no thing for which we are not indebted to God when we receive it. You see, thankfulness is a recognition and an expression that we did not deserve the benefit bestowed upon us. And as a result, we now owe a debt of gratitude to the one who has bestowed that benefit upon us. Now, we do not give thanks when we are receiving something that is owed to us. Things like a paycheck, we've earned it. They give it to us, no thanks are necessary, we deserve it. Or if someone is repaying money that you loan to them, this is not something you give thanks for, this is something you were owed. And so when we are getting what we deserve, when we are getting what is owed to us according to justice, then there's no reason to give thanks for such things. Therefore, the command of our passage to be thankful in everything clearly implies that God does not owe us anything, and that everything we receive is a gracious gift from God. God owes us nothing good, and we deserve nothing good, and therefore if we receive anything good, we owe thanks to God for that. You know what God owes you? God owes you the wages of sin. You've earned that. And what is the wages of sin? Death. That's what God owes you. He owes you nothing else besides that. What God owes us, and what we have earned, is the wages of sin, which is death. And if God gives us anything better than that, then it is a gift to which we have no right, a gift of which we are not worthy, and therefore it is to be the cause of profound thankfulness. As Jacob said to God in Genesis 32 and verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all of thy mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. He understood he was unworthy. Any mercy or goodness God shows to us is a gift of His grace, and it is therefore that for which we should give our deepest thanks. And so since God owes you the wages of sin, which is death, and those who are spiritually dead belong in hell, if you have anything better than being in hell right now, you have a great deal to be thankful for. And so let's say you have chronic pain. You know, you can really be thankful that that's not going to be eternal. And you can be really thankful that it's not as bad as it would be if you were in hell. So you can thank God for mercy even in the midst of pain, because it's not as bad as it could be and it's not as long as it could be. I have counseled as a pastor people with chronic pain that has lasted for a lifetime. And the comfort that I can offer to them is this, is it'll last for a lifetime, but it won't last forever. And in the resurrection, you will be healed. You will not have this pain. And for all eternity, you will recognize that that was a light affliction that was but for a moment that drove you to God and caused you to exercise even greater faith in Him and be rewarded in that trial for staying true to Him when so many have turned their backs on Him because things didn't turn out the way they had hoped that they would. That brings us to a second thing that this passage teaches us about ourselves. It not only teaches us our complete unworthiness, but second place, it teaches us our utter dependence. Our utter dependence. Our passage says, in everything, give thanks. Now, as we have seen, God is the source of everything good. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And if God is the source of everything, and He is, then all that we have and all that we need and all that we hope to obtain comes from His hand alone, if it is to come at all. If every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God, then if we hope for any of those things, we're only going to get them from Him. And so our food, our clothing, our shelter, our job, our health, our family, our friends, our circumstances are all given to us by God, and none of them comes from ourselves, because every gift, it says in James 1:17, is from Him. As it says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, what do you have that you did not receive? And the answer is nothing. How'd you come into the world? Naked, had nothing. Everything you've accumulated since then has been a gift from God, without exception. The problem is that God is so faithful in steadily supplying all that we need that we tend to take it for granted, think it's somehow automatic that we have these things, and then we begin to start thinking we had a hand in producing it, and therefore, now we deserve it. We forget our utter dependence on God, and that without Him, we could have nothing, and all that we do have comes from Him. Listen to the prayer of King David at the gathering of materials to build the temple. He puts out the word, we need to gather materials to build the temple. Now, he's not allowed to build it. His son Solomon's going to build the thing. But he made provision for the building materials to be gathered. And in 1 Chronicles 29, verses 16 to 11, David says this, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Now here it is. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given to thee. For we are as strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name comes from thy hand. It is all thine own. Now, you can't get any more clear than that. David recognized his utter dependence upon God, his utter poverty before God, and recognized that all that he had was a gift of God, and therefore he was both filled with humility and also with gratitude. There's a third thing that our passage teaches us about ourselves. Not only our complete unworthiness, not only our utter dependence, but thirdly, it teaches us our defective judgment. It teaches us our defective judgment. Now, the reason why this command in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 had to be issued, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The reason that command had to be issued is because the reaction of thankfulness is not normal to our depraved, fallen human natures. We must be commanded to be thankful, or else we would not possess such an attitude. Because of our fallen sinfulness, when things go well, we tend to presume that we have deserved it, or that we have earned it, or that the state of affairs is normal. You remember when things went really well for Nebuchadnezzar, what did he say? Daniel 4 and verse 30, the king spoke and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" They recognized that his kingly rule in his kingdom and all that it contained came from God as a gift. He said, "No, I did all that." Well, you remember what happened to him. Wound up grazing like a horse for 7 years. And so because of our fallen sinfulness, when things go well, we tend to presume we have deserved it, or that we have earned it, or that state of affairs is normal. But when things go bad, we tend to presume that God is being cruel, or uncaring, or unwise in his dealings with us. We see this attitude portrayed in Naomi in the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And she said to them, when she came back to the land, and she was now bereft of her husband and her sons, and all she has is her daughter-in-law, Ruth, with her. She said to the people of Israel, "Call me not Naomi." Now, the name Naomi means pleasant. And that was her name. She was her parents, when she was born, they named her Pleasant. "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara." And the word Mara means bitter. "Call me not pleasant, call me bitter." Why am I bitter? "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" You see, when things went well, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Look what I've done." When things went badly, "It's all God's fault. Look how cruel he is." Now, that's what human depravity does to us. It causes us to draw wrong conclusions about blessings and about adversities. And that's why we have this passage when it says, "In everything give thanks." When great prosperity comes, you realize, "I didn't deserve this. Thank you, Lord." And when great adversity comes, say, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're going to work it together for good, and thank you for that good that this is going to produce." We have to be taught to think like that. And our passage does that for us. This is one reason why the writer of Proverbs prayed in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, quote, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, lest I be full and deny and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord in vain." The writer of Proverbs knew all too well how defective human judgment was at the extremes of life, and how we either despise God because everything's going so well, what do we need with God? Or else we curse God because things are going so bad that God must be evil. And so our fallen natures come to wrong conclusions about divine providences at the extremes of life. And so he says, keep me in the middle, not too much rich, not too much poverty, because I know my heart, and I know I'll go off the rails if I have things too good or things too bad. The point is this: we must interpret events in our lives in the light of God's revelation, not in the light of human reason. When things happen to us, we shouldn't say, how do I feel about that? We should say, what does God's word say about that? And then that becomes our reaction to that circumstance. Reason says, I've earned all I have. I went to work every day. I learned a skill, put in my time, poured out some sweat. I earned it. Reason says, I earned all I have. Revelation says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Now, which is it? Did you earn it or did God give it? Are you going to go with your reason or are you going to go with divine revelation? Reason says, God is cruel and uncaring to let this happen. Revelation says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, is God cruel and uncaring, or is God working stuff together for good? Make up your mind. Either follow reason or follow revelation. If you follow reason, it'll take you straight to hell. If you follow revelation, it'll take you to a place of humility and gratitude and blessing. Which means we've got to react to our circumstances based on what the Bible says about them, not about what our feelings say about them. Reason will always lead us astray, but revelation never will. And this is why Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Why? Because your own understanding is defective. And so we must be told how to respond to events, because due to our defective judgment, we would never respond properly on our own. And that's why we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but our delight is in the law of the Lord. In the law of the Lord do we meditate day and night, so that that controls our thinking, not ourselves and not other people. The man of God must walk by faith and not by sight. He must walk by revelation and not by reason. He must walk by divine assessment and not by outward appearance. So why do we need to be thankful? Because we have defective judgment. That's why we need this command, because we have defective judgment. Fourthly and finally, this passage not only teaches us regarding ourselves, our complete unworthiness, our utter dependence, our defective judgment. Fourthly, this passage teaches us regarding ourselves our required duty. Our required duty. Now, what is our required duty? Well, the answer is it's to do the will of God, right? Isn't that what verse 18 says? In everything give thanks. Here's the required duty. For this is the will of God concerning you. If you're going to claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, this is one of the commandments you need to keep, because it's God's will for you to be a thankful person. We were not created to pursue our own desires and wishes. Much less were we created to follow our own heart. That's the mantra of today, right? Follow your heart. When your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, where do you think that's going to lead you? We were created to carry out the desires and the wishes of God, And when Adam defied the will of God, mankind fell. This is what sin is. What sin is the refusal to do the will of God. God says, thou shalt, and you don't do it. And he says, thou shalt not, and you go ahead and do it. He has a will, you have a will. When you defy his will, you are committing sin, whether by sins of omission or sins of commission. And what redemption does, among other things, is it brings us back once again to doing the will of God. And so the reason why Paul offers that we should be thankful in every situation is because it is the will of God. And so as servants of Jesus Christ, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, our text says. As servants of Jesus Christ, we must say with our Lord Jesus Christ the words of Hebrews 10 and verse 7, I come to do thy will, O God. Now, Jesus said that. We need to say that again. Why am I here? I'm just here to do the will of God. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a disciple, a follower, one who learns to observe all things, whatever he has commanded us. Jesus said in John 4, in verse 34, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus said in John 6, 38, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus said in Luke 22, 42, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Over and over again throughout his life and ministry, Jesus repeatedly said, I am here to do the will of God plus nothing. And so, as followers of Jesus, we, like he, must recognize it is our duty to do the will of God, whatever it is, and wherever it leads us, and one of those duties is to give thanks. And so we give thanks, among other reasons, because it's the will of God that we do so, and that he commands it, and it's a sin not to. And so even if you don't feel like being thankful, be thankful anyway, because it's the will of God. Thankfulness in everything is a required duty that we are obligated to carry out. So by way of summary, what does this passage teach us about God? It teaches us his sovereignty, his goodness, and his personal care for us. And what does it teach us about ourselves? Our complete unworthiness, our utter dependence, our defective judgment, and our required duty. And so you see, this matter of thankfulness is a very serious thing. To not be thankful is a denial of God's sovereignty, a denial of God's goodness, and a denial of God's personal care for us. In a word, unthankfulness is blasphemy of God, because unthankfulness denies that he's sovereign, he's good, and he has a personal interest in you. And to not be thankful is an expression of pride regarding ourselves. To not be thankful is to say, I am worthy to have what I possess. I have met my own needs by my own self-effort. I can trust in my own judgment in interpreting God's dealings. And I do not need to do the will of God. So that's what you're saying when you're not thankful. Thankfulness is not only an expression of humility. Unthankfulness is an expression of pride. And so to be unthankful is an attack upon God, and to be unthankful is an exaltation of ourselves. Conversely, a thankful man is one who has a right view of God and a right view of himself. So let us then be thankful people. And let us especially be thankful for God's unspeakable gift, the gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of all gifts. Amen. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we thank you so much for so many things Indeed, as the scripture says, if they are to be counted up, they are more than could be numbered. All eternity will not be sufficient to exhaust all of the things that we have to be thankful for. But Father, we would offer today the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to your name. Thank you, Father, for life. Thank you for our upbringing. Thank you, Father, for in your providence bringing the gospel to us at some point in our life. Thank you, Father, for the work of effectual calling and regeneration and the gifts of repentance and faith and then conversion to Christ and justification and adoption as the children of God and then sanctification and growth and preservation to this very moment. And then, Father, the pleasure of being able to spend our lives in worship and service to you. That alone fulfills that empty spot in our lives. We were created, Father, for you, and we are never satisfied until we are rightly related to you, rightly serving you, and rightly worshiping you. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for this inspired book that reveals all these glorious truths to us. And Father, may we live by every word that proceeds out of it, and especially this word we've heard this morning. Father, that in everything we would give thanks. For we know this is your will. It is what Christ Jesus modeled, and if we're in him, we follow in his steps, and we too are filled with gratitude. And now, Father, be pleased to bless our week to come. Father, may we not go out of here and forget what we heard today. But may every morning we wake up with thanks and praise on our lips. And every night lie down with thanks and praise on our lips. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, let's turn in our hymnals, please, to, where is it? Here it is. Hymn number 589. Hymn number 589. This is an opportunity for us to respond to the message. We've been exhorted to give thanks. This is our opportunity to do so. Let us sing together hymn number 589 in thanks to God. Shall we sing?